we wanted to welcome our listeners to our Complex Philanthropy podcast today. Many times the gifting of a business interest or the liquidity from the sale of a business is utilized to donate money to a cause or to causes a family cares about. However, prior to getting to the final sale, there are many issues that, if they are not addressed properly, can lead to an unsatisfactory experience for not only for the business owners, but for those who are helping in the execution of the sale. This series is going to help attempt you to begin to sort through that process. Today's segment, called Letting Go and Succession to Whom, is going to be the first of a three-part series where we're going to address the five main items we know that add to the complexities of business succession planning. My name is Mark Hagan. I work for UBS Financial Services. I've been in the business for 28 years and have been with our firm since 1999. Currently, I run the charitable planning part of our practice at UBS. I have a chartered advisor and philanthropy designation. I'm certified as a financial planner on the team, and I'm the founder also of a nonprofit called Emily's Place. We're a faith-based ministry that serves survivors of domestic violence in Collin County. Today, we're joined by two incredible professionals from the J. Taylor Firm in Fort Worth. Joe Taylor is the founder and chairman of the Board of Managers. He's had an amazing 40-year career in the CPA world, emphasizing business advisory and tax planning, business valuation, and business planning. He's a graduate of Oklahoma State, and he began his career early on at Ernst & Young LP, where he was a senior manager in their tax division. He is recognized as a distinguished alumni by the Oklahoma School of Accounting and was a recipient of the 2021 Wilson T. Anderson Hall of Fame Award. Herd Midkiff is also a partner at J. Taylor, and he runs the consulting practice there. Herd's had almost 25 years of business valuation and consulting with many different industries. He's a member of the National Association of Certified Valuators and is a certified valuation expert. He's also a graduate from Texas Christian University and holds an MBA from Southern Methodist University here in Dallas. He has authored many publications, and he has been a presenter and speaker around the nation. So as you can tell, there's not going to be two more people more qualified to speak on this complex topic. As a quick disclaimer and reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place, Inc. We're not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is for educational purposes only. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA. Joe and Herd might just be that for you after today's segments. Fellas, thanks for taking the time to help our listeners out today. The selling of a family business is a lot more complex than I want to sell to the highest bidder for the most money. While that is the ultimate goal, that is not always the deciding factor. I know from experience in working with you guys, you define a process of succession planning in five steps. You both have a tremendous amount of experience with family-run businesses and the need for succession planning. So I'll start with Joe. Joe, what have you seen over the last 40 years when it comes to this topic?
Mark, thank you. This is one of the most fascinating and rewarding areas that I get to practice in. You get to work with a business that has unique customers, employees, many of which have been there for decades. You've got a business name and goodwill that's been built up over a period of time, and you've got an owner or owners, and they've got objectives. They've put a lot into this business, and they're trying to find a way to hand it off in the right way. And to be able to help that owner better understand how to do that, how to put them in a good place, in a fair place, and make a good solid handoff to a potential buyer is just very, very rewarding and very, very important. That process involves working through goals and objectives. It involves working towards what a dollar amount is, the right number, how it's going to be funded, how to transition it. There's so many aspects to it, but then to get to the end and end up where you've got a good, clean transition and you've got a buyer that's taken the business, maybe even to levels it wasn't before. You got a seller that's very satisfied and gratified and what's happened with their business and how it's been handed off. Not much more rewarding in our business than that, Mark.
I can see where that's the case. And I've experienced that as you guys have helped some of our folks as well. I heard you hadn't been in the business quite as long as Joe, but you're pretty close. pretty close. What would you say?
Closer every day.
Yes, it is. What would you say as it relates to either some of the things Joe added or to add some additional pieces to that in your experience working in this space?
Like Joe said, I think if it's done right, and I think with the right planning, with the right goal setting that we'll talk about in a second, nothing is probably, you know, more rewarding in the work that we do in helping a successful transaction and in helping someone take their baby that they've grown and give it to the next generation or sell it to somebody, and just seeing, you know, a true win-win come out of a deal. Most deals that I have, you know, there's ups and downs and there's emotions involved, but at the end of the day, it truly should be a win for the buyer, should be a win for the seller. And I think done right with the right planning, that's just a very satisfactory thing to do and always good to be a part of.
Yep, I agree. So let's talk about the first step in you guys' five-step process, the letting go step. I call this the intangible part of the sale or the psychology of the sale. Herd, talk to me about some of the issues associated with this.
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of the part where before you ever put, you know, pen to paper, before you open a spreadsheet, before you start spending your money and buying your boat or buying your vacation home with all your proceeds, really before you do any of that, this is where you really need to come down to out of the clouds and figure out, what am I actually doing here? I'm going to sell this business. What are my goals? I've put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. What am I trying to accomplish? Do I want to leave it to my children? Do I have employees that I want to buy this business? Am I looking for an outside party to come in and bring new capital to the business? What am I trying to do? And I think that's sort of the first step. And the hardest step is just psychologically, you know, getting yourself there. If you've been involved with running this business and been involved with all aspects of it for a number of years, this letting go piece is, you know, you're going to let other people start making decisions. And so that's kind of that psychological hurdle that needs to be overcome.
Yep. And Joe, I know that you have experienced this firsthand, independent of the work you guys do for your clients, as you have been going through that process with your own firm, having been a founder. I think it adds some additional real world insight to it because you've experienced it personally, not experienced it with the clients. And so can you speak to some of that just as it relates to your own process that you've worked through?
Certainly, Mark. So I'm a founder of the firm. We had this firm almost 25 years now, got 15 partners, got 125 employees. When I was in my early 50s, I'm 66, when I was in my early 50s, I saw the need to begin to transition this business. And so I was focused on management transition. I was focused on culture and continuing and holding that culture in place, and then ownership. And what I found was there's two pieces to this. The one is the financial expectations. And any seller, you know, has some perspective in terms of what they think they've built up and what it is worth. And that has been no problem in terms of our business. But I will say with many of our clients that are looking at selling their business, we really need to spend some time counseling on this one, working through the numbers, helping them understand really and truly out in the marketplace where their business stands or what the range of values that are reasonable to expect. That's important. The other, and what I think is the most difficult and the one that I've had to really work with, and I don't think that's unusual, is just the psychology of it. That, you know, you get a lot of your, you know, if you put the years into the business that I have, it's kind of your baby and it becomes a little bit of a part of you. And you got to slowly wean some of that off and hand it to somebody else that'll do probably a better job over time with it. But to be able to do that, and it's really hard to do, but it's very satisfying if you have a right buyer in place, for somebody to step into that, to make that handoff and to see them take it, super satisfying once you finally turn that corner. But you can't hand it until you've got the right buyer to hand it to.
Yeah, that's great stuff there, Joe. I appreciate you sharing that. So all of these things are really important in the beginning of the process of transitioning. The next step to consider is, to whom are you going to transition the business to? And my experience over the years has been that oftentimes clients wouldn't even begin to think about any of these particular areas. Yet a few of these areas, if not worked through properly, can add a tremendous amount of anxiety, emotional toll that could be minimized or eliminated at the outset if they just were addressed in a meaningful and timely manner. Herd, give me a couple thoughts on this as you've seen some of this over your years.
Yeah, and I think you'll hear this a lot, and we'll repeat ourselves a lot here. All of this just takes more time and more planning than I think people realize. And so when Joe was talking about transitioning the firm here and kind of our internal succession, you know, that process started 10, 12 years ago is when that process started. And so there's no right time, but some may take shorter, but it's a long process to, one, overcome that hurdle of letting go, figuring out what's important to you. But then the next piece, and I think you should think about this long before you're ever entertaining offers, is who is that ideal buyer? Who's out there in the marketplace that may want to buy this business? Is it going to be transitioning to the next generation that you've sort of grown up in the business and they're going to buy it from you somehow? Is it going to be your family, children who may want to be a part of the business? Or are you going to have somebody like a strategic buyer come in, which that could be another outside business who sees an opportunity with your business and they want to fold it into that large organization? They're going to do something a lot different with the business than if you sold it to, you know, that next generation. Or is it going to be a financial buyer, someone who comes in and wants to leave the business sort of largely intact and run it just as a disinterested investor and as an investor who's just looking for a return on investment? And so you have these different buyers out there in the marketplace. All three are going to value your business differently. All three are going to do things different with it. And so, you know, ultimately, you're not going to have ultimate control, but you do have some control on kind of who you understand who you're selling to.
So, Joe, you guys have worked a lot of companies over a lot of years. You know, can you add a little bit to that or tell me, maybe give us an example of one you guys have recently been working through this succession to whom conversation with and what that looked like?
Been working a couple of them in process actually right now. We do know that if the seller's ready, but there's no buyer or the buyers aren't ready, then you're not going to have a transaction. And so it's so important to be able to find, you know, the right potential buyers. You're looking at their values, you're looking at their objectives. You got to know what makes them tick. I've got a situation, I think it's the one you were alluding to, Mark. I've got one that I'd mentioned where we've got a seller that's ready. We've got a business that's really good and could be transitioned, I think, well, but the buyer group hasn't been adequately vetted. They've got some financial capability, but I don't know combined if they really don't have it yet to do that. And then the other is just as almost all business owners to get to where they are, they had to take risk. They'd take financial risk. And so when you do sell a business to a buyer, they're going to be putting money out and they're going to be taking some risk and much less than the initial owner. But there is some willingness to take risk. And until they get into that those shoes, they won't have really probably felt what it feels like to be at risk and to be carrying the thing, that it's on their shoulders at that point.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've seen over the years, too, both whether we've been sitting around the table with you guys or just talking with clients in general, I think sometimes, too, when families are ready to transition, in this case, maybe to sell, that there's a perception that everybody that's ready to sell gets to execute a transaction and be in good shape. And my experience has not been that over the years. And if you both you guys kind of look at the all of the families that you have helped over the years, and you had to handicap as a percentage of those who came to you ready to sell, but they really weren't ready to sell by the time you guys were walking through the process, what would that look like ballpark on a number?
Would look somewhere in the 50% range. So we'll, her and I'll have clients come up. They're thinking about selling their business. They're at the age and the life circumstance where they'd like to really move towards doing that. They think they're ready. And we start looking at the business. We look at where they are, their readiness, their preparedness, expectations. And we find about half of those are actually really ready to start rolling forward. And the other half, they need a little bit of time. And they need a little counsel. And sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years to get them to a point where they're ready to hand it in a manner that's going to be appealing to the marketplace and in a transaction that's going to be satisfactory to them. So I would put that mark somewhere in the 50% range on that initial meeting. And most of those that we do work with from that start point ultimately get handed off. They ultimately have a good, successful transaction, and it just takes time. And if they haven't done a lot of preparatory work prior to our getting involved, then it takes a little more time.
So in wrapping up here, Herb, do you want to add anything there before we kick it off to Joe?
Yeah, I just, you know, Joe says it's 50% that maybe aren't quite ready when they first start talking, and I'd say it's probably, you know, 80%, if not even more, that the process takes longer than they think it should. You know, every now and again you get the stars align and it, things happen a lot quicker and you find the perfect buyer, but those are kind of the unicorn transactions. There's a lot of work to do from starting to, you know, a successful transaction. It's always going to take longer, and I think the more time you spend on the planning side and the more time you spend just assessing your goals and your values and coming into this with that set, that kind of taken care of, then it's going to be better and be a much better experience for you. So I'd always just recommend just asking yourself, what are you trying to do? And what are those values that you have? And that will make the process go better. And again, in that, in with that win-win that we've been talking about.
That's good. Joe, what would you add to that?
My emphasis would be, particularly for businesses where the business value is not just tied to the name or a person so much as it's tied to, or it's associated with a standalone enterprise. In that circumstance, I think the value of an outside consultant, an independent perspective, somebody that knows how this is supposed to work and can bring some creativity and bring some ingenuity and understands the tax aspects of it, is super valuable. And I would say, in finding that consultant, you're looking for somebody that's going to really get to know the seller and understand the seller and their business and their situation and their objectives. And I would also, my last add to that would be, I'm looking for somebody that's had some good successes too. That'll come hand in hand with somebody that brings a lot of talent and skill to it.
Yep, I agree. You want to have a few swings that actually connect with the ball. So that's good. Well, I want to thank you both today for spending some time again with me. And we will have two more series that will complete this coming shortly. For those of you that are listening, if you'd like to have further conversation, if you've got some general questions about your specific business or businesses, or just like some general information regarding the conversation today, you can email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com or call me direct, 469-440-0604. Also, follow our series of podcasts on the Apple Podcast app or in Spotify. Search Complex Philanthropy. We hope you have had a good week and hope you have a great rest of your day. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place, Inc. We're not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is for educational purposes only. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA. And as I said earlier, Joe and Herd just might be that for you after today's segment.